You're listening to the Overdrive Podcast, Hour 3, powered by Scarborough Nissan. Driving satisfaction.
It's the Rediscover the Road sales event. Finance a 2020 Rogue for 0% APR for 84 months or get a cash purchase bonus on other select models. Scarborough Nissan, Eglinton Avenue East at Warden.
Hayes, you claim you're teeing it on Thursday. It's supposed to be cloudy and 7. 7 typically is my cutoff number, but I mean...
No, I think I'm pulling the chute on that. I'm not going to play on Thursday, but I think I'm playing tomorrow. So I'm going to try to play tomorrow. Yeah,
you didn't say tomorrow was an option.
Yes, I did. I offered it up. Go look at the chain. You're still in if you want in. I've been holding out hope, thinking you're going to come along and come around. And
is it at the place you told me about?
Yeah, that's right. The Keswick Country Club, and there's still an
availability.
Yeah, but it's a good track, and it's – hey, listen, man, it's the end of October, and I'm going to try one more time. I was getting dressed earlier today, just trying to get a read on, like, how many layers I could possibly wear, and I think I'm going 4 layers tomorrow, which means 3-quarter swings, which probably doesn't hurt my game. It doesn't really matter. But, yeah, I'm going to grind. So think about it, man. You got all night tonight to figure that out.
I have 2 remaining questions. Time and who else?
9:50, which is ideal. Perfect timing. You know, let the sun get up and warm up a little bit. And the grappler will be there grappling, I believe. And I think my dad might be coming out to play. I haven't really confirmed that. I don't know what's going on with him. But there's options. There's moving and shaking. So you figure it out tonight. You let me know, all right?
Okay, buddy.
All right. So, yeah, that's my plan tomorrow. And if I shoot – if I break 90, I'm probably packing it in. If I shoot 95, I'm playing. I don't care if it's minus 15 out, I'm playing because I can't go out on the bottom. But – and we'll see what happens tonight, too, with the World Series. Game 6 tonight. Bill Shakin will join us here in a moment from the L.A. Times. And, I mean, sports in L.A. has been pretty fun, right? LeBron and the Lakers win, and now the Dodgers are on the verge of winning a World Series for the first time in a long time. And
talk about, like, doing some fun drive-home radio. Like, you just mentioned it. If you're L.A., like, if you're L.A., you've had a bunch to chew on, man. You're Tampa Bay right now, drive-home.
Mm-hmm.
Bunch to chew on.
Yep. Well, like, and exactly. The Rams are now, what are the Rams? 5-2?
My boy Goff. Goff.
Jerry Goff. He played well enough. You know, that defense is nasty. And Sean McVay's a pretty good coach. You know, seems to have figured this thing out. They were in a Super Bowl 2 years ago.
Of course. They weren't I was always shocked the way you talked about them, like they were garbage and Goff's garbage. I mean, they were in a Super Bowl 2 years ago. They're good.
If Goff can
get to the next level, they can return to that, I believe.
Yeah, that's a big if. That's my point, right? Like they've got Aaron Donald, who is maybe the best player in football right now. Period. Like, forget Mahomes, forget Jackson. He is a absolute machine.
Yeah, and he doesn't look like that big. You know those monsters out there? He doesn't look like that, but he throws people around. It's incredible to watch.
Oh, double-teaming him is pointless. Like, pointless. Like, you got to call it. You have to try to double. He's basically, you know, like, we're talking all-time great here. This is Lawrence Taylor. This is J.J. Watt when he was winning 2 or 3 defensive players of the year back-to-back. We're talking Reggie White. Like, he's just unstoppable. You can't stop the guy. Nick Foles was running for his life last night.
Mm-hmm.
Running for his life. And that offensive line isn't that good anywhere in Chicago, but it looks worse when Donald's chasing you. And that's the crazy thing about this decision down in Miami, that Tua is starting next week, and they're playing the Rams. Like, he hit the first start of his career is against arguably the best defensive player we've seen since Reggie White. And
I didn't get a chance to talk to you guys when that decision was made because I was off, but I think it's ridiculous. I think it's stupid. Patrick Mahomes had to sit and wait a year while Alex Smith played quarterbacks for the Chiefs.
Mm-hmm.
He sat and waited. Your boy Roger sat for 2 years.
4 years, dude.
Sorry, 4.
4 years Brett Favre was doing the dance, retire
so
or not.
It's like, it's okay. And they're just force feeding this guy into it after the injury. Just let him marinate, man, and let him get ready for next year. I don't understand that decision.
Blow up in their face. Like, it really might. It really might. I think they're looking at this division. Like, Bill Belichick's starting to, you know, he's showing some cracks here. Like, Tom Brady's doing his thing down in Tampa, and Billy Belichick is dealing with a problem in New England right now.
Yeah.
Like, there are rumors out there Stephon Gilmore is on the market. That's the reigning defensive player of the year, arguably the best corner in the league or close to it, and Belichick might be dealing him, and a couple of his deals recently have not gone well. He gave up a second-round pick for Mohamed Sanu last year. Like, mm-hmm. that is an atrocious trade, and no one said anything because it was Belichick.
Right.
He gave up Garoppolo for a second rounder. He could have got more than that. So now he's going to maybe trade Gilmore, and what does that mean? Is that the white flag going up? Is that you saying we're
you
done for
think.
The season? Yeah. Basically, you trade your best player. You're basically saying we're going backwards here, and then we'll see what Bill Belichick's got in store. If he's pushing towards 6-10, 7-9, instead of, you know, 10, 11, 12 wins like he has been accustomed to for 20 years. Game 6 tonight, Tony Gonsolin on the mound for the Dodgers going up against Blake Snell. And I feel like the Dodgers are going to get it tonight. I like their chances coming off a day off. I think they're the more talented team, the bats. Clearly they have more depth when it comes to the batting lineup. But to get a pulse on what's going on down in L.A., we head there now and catch up with Bill Shakin from the L.A. Times. How you doing, Bill?
I'm doing well. How are you?
We're doing well. Are you in Arlington? Are you in L.A.? I probably should know this, but where are you right now?
I'm in L.A. We do have some reporters in Texas as well, but with the pandemic, there were limits set by Major League Baseball on just how many people could be there, not just the fans, but everybody. So we split it up, and we got it covered from both places.
Good man. So what's the vibe like in L.A.? I mean, the Dodgers have been knocking on this door for what feels like, you know, years and years and years. Is it an optimistic viewpoint in L.A. about this game tonight?
I think so. You know, it's kind of an interesting time because with the pandemic, you had hockey and basketball and baseball all basically playing for a championship at about the same time. And the Lakers here have been terrible for years. They hadn't even made the playoffs for 6 years. They just won. The Dodgers have been in the playoffs the last 7 years, haven't won. And this could be the night that they do, and it's going to happen within 20 days of the Lakers.
Bill, we were talking about Roberts and how he's going to handle this situation. Know that he's gotten one more in the chamber if they don't win this one. How do you think he handles it, and does it depend on the score, or just what's the urgency with pitching, pulling guys? How do you think it plays out?
They're pretty aggressive with pulling guys, as probably everyone who's watched the games has figured out by now. They've made pretty clear that Walker Buehler is starting game 7. They had no interest in using him on short rest tonight when they didn't have to, because they do have that insurance game, if you will, tomorrow. Julio Urias, they would like to hold back for tomorrow in relief of Buehler, and everybody else is available today.
Yeah, we were talking about, you know, the Buehler setup, Bill, and I could paint a scenario where the Dodgers are up 5 runs, you know, in the going into the 6th inning, where I would use him to close tonight. I would use him. And I'd say, we need 2 innings out of you. This is it. We're up 5 or whatever it is. Let's close. Let's not even worry about tomorrow. Do you sense that the Dodgers would ever even consider a scenario like that if they found themselves in a situation like that?
Well, they consider everything, and certainly they have a huge research and analysis department that simulates more things than we could ever consider. But I think the problem with that is you still want Buehler to be your game 7 starter, and he's in a routine to be a game 7 starter. He's handled his bullpen sessions that way. You know, to take him out of that routine and ask him to get 3 or 5 outs tonight, I mean, if something goes haywire, you don't have him for tomorrow, or you have him for a lot less, and you risk messing up his arm. And so, no, I think that's unlikely.
What does this do? I mean, Kershaw is already a megastar. He's one of the best pitchers that's ever played baseball. But if they get the job done tonight and he's finally exercised the demons and performed well in the playoffs, is his legendary status, like, just tell me about where that would be if they close the deal tonight.
Well, the only thing that's really been missing is a championship. You know, this is a guy with the best earned run average of any pitcher in baseball history, if you limit it to 1,000 innings. He had a terrific year this year. He's gone through that transition that most aging pitchers do when you lose velocity and you have to learn how to pitch a little bit differently. And when you watch guys do that, that usually means a couple years where your ERA is up around 4 and you're learning off speed pitches. And if you go look at his career statistics, he's never had that kind of a year. He's learned and still done well. And the only thing that's really held him back is that the Dodgers have not won in the playoffs and he has not pitched well in the playoffs. Well, here it is. He pitched great in the World Series. He won both his starts, which was the first time in any postseason series that he's won two starts. And the Dodgers are one win away from the championship. So he was going to the Hall of Fame no matter what. But it would be nice, obviously, for him and for a city if he would go in with a championship on his plaque as well as a Dodger cap showing off.
We're Bill Shankin of the L.A. Times. Game 6 tonight. Dodgers up 3-2. Dave Roberts, ever since he's got there, all he's done is won the division. He's been to the World Series now 3 times. But, you know, the expectation is to win the division in L.A., and with that payroll and that talent, the expectation is to finally close. If it goes haywire on them tonight and tomorrow, what kind of heat will Dave Roberts be facing come Thursday in L.A.?
Well, I think just by asking the question, you sort of answered
it. Yeah, a lot of
heat. Has a 3-1 lead. You might be familiar with the concept of blowing a 3-run lead.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it wouldn't be great. But, you know, they've had issues with Dave Roberts and his postseason bullpen management before, and, you know, he's still the manager. But, yeah, I wouldn't suggest blowing a 3-1 lead.
Rob Manfred, I guess, is doing the rounds and letting everyone know that baseball is dealing with a historic debt currently, and they're not alone. I mean, every business is dealing with it in the era of COVID. You've been covering this game for a long time. You're well aware of how the union reacts to public commentary from the commissioner, and I'm sure they'll fight that or they'll want to see the books. And where do you see the offseason going once we get there, Phil, in terms of, you know, the money lost and future schedules and the money that might have to be eaten by either the owners or the players? Where do you see it all going between the two sides?
Well, I think whether you believe Rob Manfred's particular figures or you don't, and I think your suspicion is right, the union certainly would not take Rob at his word. Logic would tell you, well, if you have a season where you don't have fans in the stands and you're not selling tickets and you're not selling overpriced beers and merchandise and what have you, that your revenues are going to be down. I don't think there's any dispute about that. So the question is, how does that linger into next year? And the problem is we don't know, because next year you're talking about March or April, and where are we going to be in terms of availability of vaccine, if one is indeed available? How many people will have it? How many people is it going to be safe to assemble in one place to go to a game? How many people will want to go to a game, even if the authorities say it's safe? You know, what kind of treatments do we have? We don't know any of that. That could change a lot by February or March. So it's going to be pretty tough this winter to negotiate, knowing that you don't know really what it's going to look like come spring. I know the big dispute this year was how much did the players get paid? And there was an agreement, okay, we don't know if we're going to have a season, but if we do, the players only get paid for the number of games that are played. So, you know, play half the games, I get half my salary. Well, then the owners figured out they were going to have games but no fans, and they asked the players to take a further pay cut. Players weren't obligated to do that, so they declined. Next year, you can be sure that the first thing the owners are going to say is, oh, yeah, and we want a different agreement now in advance if there's no fans.
Right.
And that's going to be an interesting discussion.
Oh, it most certainly will. Well, we still got at least one more ball game before we have to worry about that. Enjoy tonight. Always appreciate the time. Thank you, Bill.
All right. Take care.
Bill Shankin from the LA Times.
Baseball's got to be hoping that they get through this, couple days left, and then by the time spring training comes around, life is kind of morphing into something normal.
Yeah.
And they're just praying that they catch the window where things kind of slow down and life is back to normal, and then they continue with baseball.
Especially with open-air stadiums, right? Like baseball, by next April, you got to believe in 5 months, 6 months, whatever the timeline is, there's at least every park is going to have 20% capacity. or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
You know, there's going to be some sort of system where you get people into the park.
I know. I hate to be a pessimist, Brian, but you've been saying that for a long time. You've been saying that since March. You've been like, you would think 3 months from now things will be back. We'll be in watching hockey games, and it's just, it hasn't happened, man.
Wow.
Which I hope it does, but you've been praying for that for quite some time.
I have. I mean, I always said they're going to play, which they all have.
Yeah.
And there were a lot of people that didn't think they would, and I always believed they would play, which they did. But, yeah, I mean, getting people into the building, that's going to be based on science, technology, people's willingness to do it. You know, there's a lot that goes into it. Like, the business of sport, this is going to be analyzed for a long time. Like, I've been wondering, with the holiday season right around the corner, like, that's a big, big time for the purchasing of apparel. But I can't imagine the numbers are that high. I have to believe that's taking a hit. Like, has anyone bought a Joe Thornton jersey? I'm sure some guys have, but other year, a conventional year, it would be flying off the shelves.
Yep, yeah, you're right.
Flying off the shelves. And it just doesn't feel like people are connecting to the sporting world the same way.
No. But these leagues are looking at the leagues that are playing right now. You can't tell me that the NHL and the NBA, all eyes have to be on Major League Baseball, on the NFL, how they're handling them. I know it's different because you just mentioned it, Hayes, open-air stadiums. Like, I think you're going to get 20% fans minimum by next April. Like, I don't think there's a cure, but there could be a vaccine and there could be rapid testing. And rapid testing could be game-changing. We're seeing that, you know, I think they're trying it at the Calgary airport pretty soon here. I think it was November 2nd they're going to try with a rapid testing that would, you know, save the quarantine. Like, you're trying different things. It's trial and error right now. And I know, you just mentioned it, the frustration. Like, we've been saying it for a while, but something is going to give. But I think it's in small doses. And we're just going to have to learn to live with it some way, or, you know, shape our lives around it. And, you know, I think there will be fans in the building, but it may not be full capacity. It may just be baby steps.
Yeah. Yeah, and there obviously is a difference between, you know, a closed-door environment and an open roof environment, or an outdoor environment, clearly. And that's going to have an effect on fans, and that's why we're seeing fans in the stands tonight. You know, there's a World Series game going on, and there's going to be about 10, 12,000 people there.
Yeah.
And same thing with football games scattered throughout the NFL. But, yeah, we'll see. All right, James Duffy coming up. We'll get his take on the game tonight. The Masters, which he will apparently be there for, big news for him, and I guess he'll be there for the World Juniors. That's a little bit ways down the road.
Yeah.
But are they going to be at home? Will they be in Edmonton? I don't even know if Duffy's got those answers, but we'll grill him. We'll see what he can tell us. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on TSN 2. All right, we'll get to our best bets, brought to you by Proline, later in the hour. James Duffy coming up here in a moment. Honesty and integrity. Not generally qualities we concern ourselves with too often on the show, but for this sake, I have to come with the straight facts. I just did the walk-up, and my wife noticed the new salad immediately. Immediately
really?
Picked out the new hair. I'm very impressed by that.
What was the comment?
Looks good. Nice job. Thumbs up. Nothing, you know, overwhelmingly, you know, supportive or whatever, but... A nice enough comment, you know.
I just think it's drastic because your hair was very long before.
I liked it long. I liked the look.
Mm-hmm.
I think you should have just let it ride.
I got to be honest. It's a bit of a butchering, like, it, because I got the headphones on. You don't really notice it, but there's some uneven strands. Let's put it that way. I walked out of there, and I'm like, were the lights on in there? What is happening here?
Is this your regular hairstylist that you're chewing
right
now?
I'm not going to announce the spot. It's a good spot. I'll be back. It was a one-off. I've had great experiences, and I'm not jumping on Google review or anything and throwing anyone under the bus. It happens. Everyone has an off game, right? It was one of those days. It was not.
So that was your haircut was a 7-2 loss?
Yeah. Basically,
if it was a score, what was it?
7-2 is probably appropriate.
Really?
We tried to pull the goalie at 5-2, got a little ahead of ourselves, two empty netters.
Really?
You know, livable, though. Fine. Still okay. Overall in the standings, winning. Playoff.
Okay.
playoff performance is kind of spot. You know, not the 72 Dolphins, but a good spot. I like it. Fair enough. Yeah, and I'll be back. So, you know, it happens. It's not a complete butchering. I might be overemphasizing that a little bit. But with the headphones on, you know, one profile, one angle, it doesn't really matter. You know, no one needs to see the back of my head or side of my head or whatever.
What do you get? You tell me the price of your haircut, and I'll tell you exactly where you went.
$15.
No, it's more than that. It was
$24.
It's in the 30s. No, it was in the 30s.
Super cuts.
No, it's not. It's not anything with cuts in it.
What?
It's not anything with cuts in it. Because there's a million different cuts, right? There's super cuts. What other
cuts? Master cuts.
Master cuts. Magic cuts. Spectacular cuts.
Sport cuts.
Sport cuts. Amazing cuts. Great cuts. anyone can have a barber. Or set up a salon with
clips.
Cuts in it.
Clips too.
You're right.
Clips. Clips, yeah.
Clips is like $2 more expensive. That's if you're going to the prom.
I'll tell you one thing. Super cuts, I've gone in there if you need a cut on the go.
Yeah, me too.
You're in that chair and out of that chair, I'm not even kidding, in 12 minutes.
Yep, it's quick.
Like it's zoom, couple chops, and it's like get out.
Sometimes
and check in at the desk.
They won't even wet your hair.
No!
It's so good.
Sometimes they won't give you the spritz. You're dying for the spritz for them to like, you know, my hair gets a little puffy. No
Have
spritz.
You ever cut hair before? Nope, you're hired. Go ahead.
Just a trim. Don't buzz me, all right?
The friction without the spray is, it catches your attention, doesn't it? Like if they really get a piece of the scalp and it's like, can you just loosen it up with a little bit of hair lube,
it's
please?
Not good. Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, this is not good for anybody right now. And I used to go to a spot, famous spot in the neighborhood I grew up in. I loved it and I wish I could still go. It's not around the corner, so I don't. But an old school barber shop. Like, and I've told this story before on the air over the years. Like, chalkboard, you put your name up, that type of old school. Amazing place. But I didn't have the courage, and I'll admit, I was soft as butter. Because some guys, you know, you'd walk in there and you'd have the guy that is your guy, right? Like, you had your barber. Yeah. So you put your name, and then in brackets, you'd write down Jamie or Jeff or whatever. Yeah. I never had the stones to do that because it felt like I was being disrespectful to everyone else. So I just put my name up there, and there would be an older gentleman that was still holding on. And if you got this guy, you knew you were butchered for the better part of 10 to 14 days.
Wow.
Because he was, his sight was a bit of an issue. Kind of had the hands were trembling a little bit at times.
That's the Seinfeld episode where he was cheating on the barber.
Exactly, Noodles. And this guy, he would start buzzing your head and then ask you what you want. Like, he'd start taking stuff off.
What do you want, number two, while he's got the one going halfway up your cranium?
You're halfway into the job, and he's like, so what are we thinking this week? I'm like, well, I guess you've already determined it. Like, taking it down to the woodshed? I better be calling for that, because if not, we have an issue on our hands.
Yeah.
But that's old school barbershop, man. You don't see that too often anymore.
Nope.
Right?
It's not
now
good.
It's all cuts and clips and all that good. I'll bet you Duffy probably goes to a salon.
No, he's got a guy. He's got a guy, Angelo.
Oh, yeah, that's right. He's mentioned him before. Here's famed author James Duffy.
Rocco.
That's your guy.
Don't ever mess with Rocco.
Okay. Yeah, don't ever mess with us. We're all going to do books about famous broadcasters and then come out with a book, but not promo any of the broadcasters we know.
You know, I had a pool with my wife. I said, there's two things. First, I'm going to send out a tweet of some of the names in the book. And I'm going to leave out all the TSN guys, and I'm going to see which one will text me first to complain. Dave Poulin won that one, but he was kind of joking. Next up, the guys, like, you have no control when you do a book over it. I guess you have control. They sort of show you things. But the back of the book, the guy said, instead of putting quotes, I'm just going to put in names of people in the stories, or, you know, it's supporting Gretzky and Mario and McDavid and Crosby and all that. And then so he said, I said, do me a favor. Either put like nobody from TSN on the back of the book or put everybody from TSN, okay? Because I don't want to deal with it. And I think he put like most of the hockey players on, but he left out one that rhymes with Marlo Folifacavo.
Yeah.
Oh, my
And you know he's got a comment.
I heard about that one very early.
Yeah.
Oh, my. I think the one that rubs me the wrong way is the audio clips where it's like, that's no one that we know. Like, that's all people that is just big-leaguing us, and we're never making the audiobook.
No, you're 100% making the podcast. Of course you guys are. Look, at you guys, the backbone of the book is my TSN colleagues.
There you go.
Yeah.
It's the backbone. You know, like, no one's going to, if I just said I'm just wrote a book with, like, all the guys I work with, they probably don't know if everybody would buy that. They just say, well, it's just a TSN book then. You got to have other guys in there.
Yeah, you got to promote Gretzky and Sid. I mean, it's promotion.
That's what sells. That's what sells.
You've got it. So, Duthie, you got to confirm or deny something for us. There was a nasty rumor going around that you shot 86 at Augusta National.
No, I shot 92.
Is that for real? And were you playing from, like, what tees? Like 60, 200 yards?
Honestly, I didn't play. I'm telling you right now, Hayes, if you take away a little bit of the pressure, like, O-Dog would shoot 100% in the 70s. And I really feel like if I had a crack, another crack, I could. And you could, too. Because you play from the club tees. The members tees. And now that was basically the same place where Tiger won from in 97, but that's after Tiger won in 97, it went goofy, and, you know, they moved back. So there's certain holes where it's only 10 or 20 yards difference, but there's certain holes where I think like 11 in particular was about 160 yards behind where I teed off, where the guys had teed off on the Sunday before. But Augusta is an extremely playable golf course. Like, there's tons of room. You won't lose a ball unless you hit it in one of the waters. Or I lost a ball in a bush on 10 that you don't even see on TV because nobody hits it there.
Left?
I'd never seen it. but it's extremely playable. And the only it's very hard around the greens. Like, there was a couple of times on, like, 7, I hit it over behind a bunker. And the greens are so sloped forward, I was just terrified. And I actually distinctly remember, instead of trying to, like, hit my 60 and land it on the green, hit a flop shot, I putted around the bunker.
Nice.
to leave myself about a 70-footer because I was terrified. But it's really playable, and the caddies, you know, read the putts for you. And the greens, everybody, you know, the greens are terribly fast. And I think I three-putted, like, 13 times. But it's because I kept, like, having 40-foot putts on every hole, and I would go, like, 8 foot by, and I just missed the comebackers. But the greens are super true. So I honestly think you could score there really well. I just it's overcoming the awe of playing at Augusta, and every second in your head going, "Holy crap, I'm playing Augusta," and I think that kind of gets to you a little bit.
James, don't you think it's going to be really weird seeing the tournament this year with no fans? I was talking about it earlier, and they outline the holes. It's like this big green yard out there,
right?
And the fans, like, cut the fairways, and they make the holes, and it's going to be so weird without them this year.
Well, that was the strange thing about playing on the Monday, and what my feeling of playing on the Monday is going to be what all the pros are dealing with the 4 days. There's a ton of open space at Augusta that you don't see, really, because there's so many people there. And it seems so empty when you're actually on it. It's going to be really strange. I can't wait from a completely selfish standpoint because, as I said many times before, it's really hard to cover the Masters on the golf course. I end up having to watch the back nine on Sunday on TV every single time because with no cell phones allowed, no electronic scoreboards, and massive crowds. Like, if you want to follow Tiger or, you know, JT or something like that, you're barely going to see the top of his head. So all you know about what's going on is those old wooden scoreboards and the roars of the crowd. But this time, like, it's just going to be us out there. Like, do you think, should I go to 16 and be the guy behind the guys teeing off at 16, you know, yelling mashed potatoes?
Yes,
what would you guys
yes.
do that for me? Maybe, like, with a big overdrive T-shirt?
Yes.
Yeah. Or, like, I have 14 it. Beer cups stacked in a row.
Can you imagine if I did that? I'd be on the bus home so fast. But I may, like, you might actually, there's a good chance you'll see me or our boy Puffy, who runs around the course getting shots of everybody with the cameraman. He's going to get a lot of TV time, I think, because I just don't think there's going to be anybody else out there. So, selfishly, I'm really looking forward to this one from that standpoint, because I think I'll actually be able to follow the lead group on Sunday and watch the tournament. But
it is going to be really weird to watch and not having the roars and everything. I don't think it'll be the same at home.
Yeah, that's going to be wild.
How tight is the shirt going to be? Because you usually go tight down there.
Men small.
And you're usually like, that's a...
Sometimes I'll go youth medium.
Yeah, and it's in sunny. It's usually been in warm weather where you've been able to do some curls before because you have the dominant, is it the right arm with the bigger bicep?
Yeah, I only work out the one arm that holds the mic.
Yeah, that's you have that one forward right into the mic.
That was a weird comment.
I like COVID, like everybody else in COVID. I have two seasons of the year, right? I try to like work out in the winter, and then in the summer I play golf and don't do anything. And so it's not a good timing for me. I think I'm going to hope for cool weather so I can layer up.
You think the course is going to look any different, James? People are saying, I can't wait to see what it's going to be like in November. Like, it's a warm state. Like, it's,
yeah, it was
it can't
like
100 be that
degrees
different.
Down there last week or something, and I think it's 75 and sunny. I don't know. Is there a change of colors on some of the trees on the golf course? I'm not sure there is.
I hope
we'll find out when we get there. Like, right now it looks pretty green, I think.
Let's make it different, right? It's November. They're never going to do this again, more than likely. So, yeah, I hope it's got a bit of a different feel, a bit of a different vibe. And it most certainly will without fans. And I guess College Game Day is going to be down there on Saturday.
Yeah, I heard that, which is going to be neat in itself. But I don't understand. I guess they can't, you know, what makes College Game Day is all the fans that are there. So
yeah.
I guess they won't be there. And I really think, just to take it to the golf for a second, and I mentioned Tiger in 97. I know all you guys, I don't know that we all love DeChambeau, but I think there could be parallels there as to what he, you know, what Tiger did in 97 when he kind of just ate up the golf course. Will DeChambeau take that to another level? You know, is he going to be on, you know, like 13 and 15? Is he going to have 60 yards in, you know, with his second shot? Which sounds ridiculous, but like the math is there for like on 13 on Amen Corner. Is he going to take it just directly over those trees?
Yes, he is. He's going to drive it in front of the green and have a sideways pitch for eagle
or
albatross.
Yeah, so I think that's going to be a fascinating thing to watch, just because, you know, he's not as loved as Tiger was back then, but that's what happened, right? Tiger just ended up in positions that no one had ever seen before at Augusta. And I think DeChambeau might be the same situation here.
Well, there's going to be parallels with every sporting event in terms of no fans and being played in different environments. And the same thing's going to apply with the World Juniors, which begins in a couple of months. And historically, if the tournament was in North America, you guys would be there. You know, the whole shooting match, half of TSN would be in Edmonton.
Yeah. Well, we're all going to be there. It's just a matter of the nerves for me on this are just getting the players there. I think that once every player is on the plane, their respective charters from the Czech Republic and Austria and Russia and all that, I think they're going to be fine. It'll be like the NHL bubble. It's a matter of getting them on the plane and not having 10 kids with the virus or whatever. Considering what's going on in Europe, the numbers are just as bad as they are in the States right now. And so that I think would be the biggest concern. So I hope we're going to have a tournament, and I think it'll be great. I mean, look, the World Juniors is the one tournament where we've seen, we've seen empty rinks and the games are still great, right? Not so much anymore. That's kind of an old statement with the World Juniors, because the last few ones in Europe have been fantastic. Even though they're in smaller arenas with 5,000 or 6,000 people, they've almost always been jammed and it's been great. But we remember many a time Canada winning overseas and in empty rinks, certainly in preliminary rounds. And so I think the hockey is so good that it overcomes that and the emotion of the kids.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. I mean, the games are going to be they're going to be great. Like, these kids are playing for the medals. They're not playing for cash. It's just the idea of a tournament on Canadian soil with no Canadians in the building.
It's weird.
Is going to be weird. I mean, we're going to be used to it by then. We'll have been 10 months into this at that point. But
it's going to be weird sitting. I never went inside any of the NHL bubbles, so just sitting there on the set, and, with nobody around us. But Bob, it's his dream come true. He doesn't have to Doesn't have to pose for any pictures.
No selfies or anything. It's the perfect way to ease into retirement. Yeah. No one around him. Yeah, it'll be ideal.
But no, I really hope we get there. It's like everything else. You just have the trepidation. Even with the Masters, you know, we're planning on going. I don't know if you guys have heard, we're taking a bus. We've actually rented Whoopi Goldberg's bus. Apparently Whoopi is like John Madden in that she doesn't like flying. So when she goes East Coast to West Coast to do the View or, you know, Sister Act 7 or whatever the heck she's doing, she takes a bus. And so we've got Whoopi's bus because we're taking precautions too. This, I think, we're the first crew to go outside the country. And so we'll be tested. We're going for our first test Friday, and then we'll get tested before we go. And then we get on this bus together and go straight to our house in Georgia, and then can only go from the house to the course and back. There's no carousing at night. There's no going, you know, somebody else gets our groceries and that's it, which is fine by me. I just love being at the golf course, but it's going to be a really interesting experience considering, you know, the outbreaks going on in the States right now. Who knows if there's unrest after the election, I think it'll be wild. I don't know, what is it, 15 hours, 16 hours? I haven't even looked at how long the bus ride is.
Oh, it'll take you a long time to get down there, for sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
but it's Whoopi's bus. There's, like, big screen TVs and places to lie down. It's going to be great.
Yeah, that'll be cool.
We're going to be live stream. Should I live stream the entire way?
Oh, shit. Yeah. Just don't take the room by the bathroom. Hayes, you took buses in junior.
Yeah,
like
course.
That. I always tried to stay halfway up. I hated being back at the back of the bus is where the veterans were. Well, it was also where the urinal and the guys went and took deuces in there. So I would always stay.
I'd stay
halfway up. Exactly.
Yeah. Can I share you? You just reminded me. If I can share you one story from the book Beauties, Ryan Whitney from Spittin' Chiclets tells a story about when he made. I think it's his first year in Pittsburgh or second. He makes the – remember the Young Stars game they had at All-Star?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So he's all excited that he gets the Young Star game and he's getting a first-class ticket to Dallas. And then he finds out that, you know, Malkin's going and Crosby's going to the real game. And so they're going to take Mario's private jet. And he's never been on a PJ before, so he's all excited. So he gets to the private jet lounge and he sees, you know, Sid come in and with his parents and Mario and his wife and Malkin and his girl, and he's like, how many seats are there on this PJ? And he gets on and there's no seats left. So he sits in the bathroom the entire flight to Dallas. Ryan Whitney just sits on the head, and when Mario or Sid has to come in to take a leak or something else, he just stands outside and waits for them. So I'm hoping I don't get that experience on the bus trip.
No, try to avoid that. Although I think, you know, Bob Weeks would have seniority over you, James.
Weeksy's the king. Yeah. Gillette is our analyst. I don't even know if that's been announced yet, but that'll be great. And he's actually meeting us down there because he's on tour. So they would take priority. Or hey, Puffy probably takes priority over me. So
yeah, you never know.
You know, I'm low man on the golf totem pole.
Well, I'm sure we'll chat well before then.
Mm-hmm.
But, it's going to be fun.
Not too long ago. We leave a week Sunday, so it's coming.
Yeah, it's right around the corner. I can't wait. It's going to be awesome. All right, buddy.
Our first choice haircutters was my before I got
first
Rocco.
Choice.
That was first choice. Was that a Toronto thing or was that just an Ottawa thing?
No,
that's a Toronto.
That's a Canada thing.
Yeah, that's a chain, buddy.
First
that's
choice.
It's outstanding.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, first choice, you're in and out 12 minutes, too.
Yeah, like, boom.
Quick turnaround, new salad.
You guys ever, like, take the book? You know the book at some of those places? The book with the hairstyles?
Yeah,
have you ever taken the book and said, I want this one?
No.
Does anybody do that?
I've done it a ton. Like, give me this. Frosted tips just like this guy.
I did it once with a picture of David Beckham. I went in and I was like, he had frohawk or something. Like, isn't that what it was called? Like
I've used a Beckham pick before.
Yeah. I was like, give me that. And it didn't work out, obviously. Yeah. Not because I have an ugly face. It's just I didn't have the hair to match even what Beckham had. He has glorious hair,
too. Yeah, his hair is off the charts. Like Hall of Fame, Mount Rushmore of hair. He's had every style possible.
Yeah.
James, before we get you out of here, we got to ask you, how long did it take before you and the wife kind of, you know, doors were open for bathroom stuff and kind of relaxed the mood?
We're not, personally, I'm not there yet.
Oh, really?
What?
Goes to the gas station.
When we did our reno, I made sure that there was like the separate little door to the toilet room in our master bathroom, because I don't like that. I don't want to see her. I don't want her seeing me. I still don't feel comfortable.
Okay.
And I find my own space usually.
I like that. There you go. That's just keeping the spark alive.
Right, now, remember, you're talking to a guy that, like, doesn't, as I've told Hayes on the show before, I plug my ears in public toilets because I just don't like, I'd feel uncomfortable.
Yeah. You're a very neurotic man.
Yeah, I have problems. Yeah. I have some problems with the toilet thing. So me and my wife, we keep that business personal still, and that keeps it fresh.
Yeah, I remember my dad. I totally agree.
My dad, like, he would just be like naked, taking the biggest deuce ever. And I'd like walk in, mom would be like cleaning her teeth, and my dad would always be buck naked deucing. And then he'd be wiping, and he'd like he'd be talking to me, like lecturing me. I'd be 14 or something like that, and be like, listen, you got to get those math marks up. And he'd be wiping.
He's scraping his barn door, like, get serious.
Yeah, it was like, and I think that scarred me so deeply that I never wanted that to. And I love my dad. Rest in peace up there, Dad. But that just scarred me. And so I didn't want – that was the one thing I didn't want to bring to my relationship.
Well, those aren't memories that anyone wants.
Oh, I can still see it.
Yeah, that's awful.
I can see every bit of them.
Good luck with that, James.
Yeah, sorry, guys.
Good luck, buddy. Good luck in that bus, too, with those issues. It's going to pop up. You're going to have problems.
Yeah. This is therapy. It's always therapy being on your show.
Yeah,
thanks,
it feels like it. It's very therapeutic for us, too.
Bye.
All right, man. We'll talk to you. There he is, James Duthie. Noted, famed author. Tough childhood, evidently.
Tough. No matter how much you love your dad, you do not want to see your dad geared down.
No one. Nobody ever wants to see it.
No. It's it's not happening.
Well, it's traumatic. Like,
Billy Bob used to swim in school.
Yeah, but
that was grade 8 for him. That was just
high school, allegedly. That was naked swim in high school. Which, again, I find it, I still don't believe that story.
I don't either.
Reputable high school still around. I find it hard to believe.
Everybody gear down. Let's go for
a swim. Why would he lie about that? That's the thing. Why would he lie? It's a true story. It's just
it must be because it's so ridiculous that you wouldn't possibly come up with it. And you wouldn't stick to it for as long as he has.
Yeah.
You know, we're talking over 50 years he's been telling that story.
Exactly.
Dregs with an update on the Ontario Hockey League. We'll tell you about that. We'll get to our best bets brought to you by ProLine. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on TSN 2. All right, time now for our best bets brought to you by ProLine. Looking at the ball game tonight, props. Max Muncy's been hot, but it's paying like 230 for him not to register a hit tonight. I'm going to gamble on that. Brandon Lowe, 230 to hit in a run tonight. Runs batted in over the number. And Corey Seager, the same thing. Throw down 20. You can score 190. You can find my picks on Twitter at TSN 1050 Radio. ProLine, it's the sports betting game that lets you turn small wagers into big excitement. ProLine, put your knowledge on the line. Darren Dreger reporting that the OHL's GMs will meet virtually tomorrow, and it's expected the league will announce a February 4th season start. Training camp's expected to open January 25th.
Man, that'll be a short season there, boy.
Yeah, that's – I don't know. What is that going to be, 2 months, 3 months?
Yeah, 30-game season or something.
Basically.
But I would think they change the dates to push that back a little bit.
Yeah.
Get it into June.
You want to bring the Mem Cup back, though, right? They had to cancel it last year.
Yeah, I think they'll get 45 games, something like that in, you know.
Yeah, I hope so. And
a gate-driven league. Sorry to interrupt, Brian.
Big
Brian,
time.
That's
well, I thought they made it clear that they can't come back unless there are fans. So I don't even know what they know that we don't know, or maybe they've changed their tune on that. But I also hope that it's real hockey. Like, don't come back without physical contact, without fighting, without face-offs. I mean, that's going to develop bad habits more than anything else. Like, that's not hockey. If there's no body contact, it's not hockey.
Yeah.
So I guess we'll find out more later in the week when more details come out. Game 6 of the World Series tonight. It's going to be a fun one. Enjoy that. Enjoy your evenings. We are out of here. We are back tomorrow at
4 p.m. See you at the course.
We'll chat then.
At Scarborough Nissan, the health and safety of the community and their employees is a top priority.
With extra safety measures in place, Scarborough Nissan welcomes you to experience the Rediscover the Road sales event on now, where you can finance a 2020 Nissan Rogue for 0% APR for 84 months or receive an up to $5,000 cash purchase bonus on other select models. Scarborough Nissan, driving satisfaction on Eglinton Avenue East at Warden Avenue. Visit ScarboroughNissan.com. You've been listening to the Overdrive Podcast, Hour 3, powered by Scarborough Nissan. Driving satisfaction. Finance a 2020 Rogue for 0% APR for 84 months or get a cash purchase bonus on other select models. Scarborough Nissan, Eglinton Avenue East at Warden.